Class war, class war.
Now, Jim, show this gentleman how you can dance and sing.
My attitude towards the Western powers. If you want to say there's no rules, fine. Don't go crying for your money when that comes.
America today finds herself in a unique situation. She's the only country in history in a position to become involved in a bloodless revolution.
If America does not respond creatively to the challenge to banish racism, some future historian will have to say that a great civilization died because it lacked the soul and commitment to make justice a reality for all men.
When the system doesn't work for the majority of the people, you gotta change the system.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your brother, Vladimir Deese. Welcome to this Class War Battlefield podcast episode. In the near future, I'll be using Class War Battlefield podcast as a way of just kind of brain dumping ideas that I have come up with. I don't think I'm going to structure this show. I have another podcast that I'm working on right now where I'm definitely going to be structuring it. But anyway, you didn't come here to listen to me talk about that. So, in light of DeMar Hamlin's injury and his increasing recovery, a couple of things have been running through my mind. The first and foremost is, and Keith Olbermann underscored this in his commentary about the NFL and what was said after Hamlin was taken from the field, or really right before he was taken from the field, and what was expected of the players and what was expected of the game. As he said it, the original statement made by the announcers was that the players would be given a 5-minute kind of get your mind right warm-up period, and then the game would be resumed. As Keith Olbermann said, then in the next 5 minutes, the world came down on the NFL. It is amazing to me. I did not know, and he recounted on his show, the number of people in the last 40 plus years who have fallen and have been rendered dead for a moment in time or died altogether on the NFL field. I did not know that there were so many other people who had suffered that fate. But I want to go back to what he said about the world coming down on the NFL. He revealed something that I think most people don't like to acknowledge. What social media has revealed is not what the conservatives keep intonating, which is that SJWs, social justice warriors, are louder. They're more vicious than conservatives, when that just isn't true. That they are better organized, when that just isn't true. One of the first websites I actually heard of, and I'm talking back in 1995, was Matt Drudge's website. Matt Drudge, might have been 96, but I'm confident it was 95. Matt Drudge is not a progressive. Matt Drudge is not a social justice warrior. Matt Drudge is a right-wing lunatic.
What social media has revealed, though, is that the humanitarian instinct, which so many conservatives have demanded, was not the true core of humanity, has over and over and over and over again been revealed to be the internal spark that moves the human being. If that was not the case, what we saw on Monday night, January 2nd, 2023, would have never happened. The NFL would have said, you have 5 minutes to play. The players would have said, we're not playing. And the world, Twitter, particularly United States side, would have come down on the players. And it didn't happen. The world came down on the NFL. There's a deeper reason why I think this has happened. So over the last 3 years, obviously, the world has been suffering to various degrees from a pandemic. It's quite interesting when you think about the levels of emotion that have been attached to the pandemic. The fear, the isolation, the loneliness, the depression, the discovery of new talents or buried talents that you forgot you had, the discovery of digital communities that you didn't know existed, the discovery of hobbies that you didn't know that you would like. All of that happened, to say nothing about the killings of innocent black people, the protesting of those killings, the protesting of the mandates. I know it didn't make any sense, but if you look at trauma, and you look at it from a societal level, it makes a lot of sense. In fact, one of the things that Keith Olbermann pointed out in his commentary was trauma tends to, the shock of trauma tends to cause people to want normalcy. And sometimes they'll seek that normalcy even if that normalcy is going to injure them. Something, though, that made sense to me even before Hamlin's injury was that the pandemic had made us closer. The pandemic has made us closer as a human family. With over 1.1 million people who have died just in the United States from the pandemic, it is likely that every person alive in this country knows a person who has died, rather they are family, friend, or in community. It is unlikely that there is one town in this country that has not been affected by that by that death rate. Beyond that, though, and I think this speaks to what happened on Monday, we have seen this interesting flow when it comes to the pandemic of compassion, nationwide compassion to the people who do the most work, who do the most inglorious work, the people who make the society run. I know folks seem to think it's the military that makes the society run. I ain't got nothing against the military, but the people who make the society run are the people who are mostly doing the jobs that folks on Fox News and other conservative outlets, where the people are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, they look down at a lot of these people because they are the poorest. They aren't paid well because the corporations keep them impoverished. But what we saw during the pandemic was first nationwide compassion towards these, quote, essential workers. Something that people didn't speak of, which was interesting, was how essential sports was to a lot of people, to making people feel normal. So when the NFL came back in 2020, it made people, even though they couldn't go to the games, it made people, and I remember seeing this on Facebook, I wasn't on Twitter much at the time, but I remember seeing it on Facebook where people were like, yeah, finally, you know, things feel normal. But we saw nationwide compassion to we saw national compassion to these work given to these workers. But within a year, that national compassion from the wealthy specifically turned to poison, turned to venom, turned to scorn, turned to hatred. You are lazy. You are what is wrong with this country. You are putrid. God, if we could just do without dealing with you. You are horrible. We saw the wealthy turn their ire towards the people who they needed the most to do the work in this country. And those people, most of them, just went back to work and said, well, that's the cost of living in a hierarchical society. But there was a small group of people, the SJWs, who said, no, we should not be treated this way. And they are the ones who fought back online for the dignity of the average worker. They were also the ones who started this modern union drive to take those necessary workers, those elite workers that every society needs to actually function. I know people in the middle class, people in the upper class, they think they are what the society needs to function. If everybody in the middle class and the upper class went away, the society would function fine for quite some time. And most of them don't want to hear it, but it is the fact. The people at the bottom do the most work. They're the ones that actually keep society going. That small group went to bat for ordinary workers. And so when, on Monday night, Hamlin fell, and word got out that the NFL, who don't even like to, and this was something else that was brought up, the NFL and the owners who don't like to sign contracts with guaranteed money. Those of you who watch football, you know what that means. What it means is, family, let's say you had a job at a store, and the store said it was going to pay you $20 an hour. All you had to do was sign this contract. However, they were only guaranteeing $12 of that $20 until you met certain conditions, which typically, if you looked at the statistics of everybody who worked at that store, it was more likely than not that you would not you wouldn't meet those conditions to make up those extra dollars, those extra $8 in the next 4 years. When word got out that the NFL was going to force the NFL players to continue after what happened to DeMar Hamlin, the reason the world came down on the NFL was because a year earlier, the wealthy had come down on them. And there was nothing that could be done at that time, but there was something that could be done now. This man almost died. I'm sorry, he did die on that field. It took CPR and a shock from the paddles of life to bring him back. And the NFL could only care about the game that was being played. Joe Biden might want to take a hint in this one. Because see, something that Joe Biden didn't continue when he was in office, which he should have, was the program to pay companies who allowed people to stay home when they had COVID. I know people, I've known people who had COVID. They didn't know they had COVID, but it turned out later they had COVID. They were sick. They came to work. Other people got sick because they could not take the financial hit. In fact, I've told the story before. When I was in the hospital 2 years ago, the doctors originally wanted me out. I haven't told this part. They wanted me out for 3 weeks. I couldn't take the financial hit. I went back after a week. It was a mistake. My body wasn't ready. It took months longer to recover from that sickness. And it wasn't even COVID, accordingly. That's what they tell me. But it took much longer to recover from that sickness than it would have if I had spent 3 months, or yeah, 3 weeks, I mean, at home. It probably would have turned into a month or so if I had took that time and took and been home. The average worker understands, absolutely understands, the pain of going on when your body says, no, I need to rest. Working through exhaustion and working through more exhaustion. It's amazing to me that many conservatives became angry that this big corporation called the NFL was going to force those players to keep playing even though one of their mates had fallen. Yet, those same conservatives become angry when progressives say, you need a union. When progressives say, we need to fight for better pay. When progressives say, we need to fight for better benefits. When progressives say, you should have 35 to 40 days off when you walk into a job. And for those of you who want to tell me, oh, well, I have a small business and I can't afford it. You know something? If France can afford it, if Spain can afford it, if Germany, call Germans socialists and let's see what they do to you. If Germans can afford it, I think the United States with a bigger economy than those countries, I think the United States can figure out a way to do it. And in fact, I know they can figure out a way to do it. See, recently, and I'm not going to get too far into this, but recently I have become familiar with the system of budgeting in the federal government. And I want to give a quick shout out to Majority Report because they talked about this. They talked to an author who had written a book on the history of budgeting and talked about how the budgeting system, I believe it was in the 1980s of the federal government, changed significantly. I don't remember how. I have to go back and review it. I was working a lot at the time. I didn't have time to watch the whole thing. But they talked about it. They talked about it. And it got me thinking. When we are talking, when most people say taxes, they think of taxes as just, oh, well, it's just taking money away. It's taking the money away. No, that's not what taxes are meant to do. There are many reasons for taxes. Most people don't think about it, but there are. For instance, I'll give you one example. People get angry about school taxes. Okay. Here's the funny thing. The same people, mostly conservatives, who get angry about school taxes, they simultaneously want charter schools, which take public money to operate. Well, where do you think the public money to operate those charter schools come from? How about school taxes? How about school taxes? Taxes also can be used to force companies to do something that ordinarily they wouldn't do. Another example, kind of like osmosis. You send in something, you get something in return, right? Give you a great example. One of the issues that the New Deal addressed was companies not wanting to take their massive profits and spend it on updating equipment, building onto buildings, things like that. What the new tax code coming out of the New Deal did was it encoded certain taxes for companies that didn't want to update their equipment, build onto their facilities in the United States, not move jobs overseas, which, by the way, the conservatives have, and so didn't the Clintons, change those taxes to encourage companies to move overseas and to give them taxes when they do so, to give them tax breaks when they do so. So all of this stuff that you're talking about when it comes to, you know, taxes are bad, you don't know what a tax is. If corporations are telling you taxes are bad, you might want to ask yourself, why is this cancer cell telling me that the thing that enabled us to build the type of economy that everybody references back in the 1950s, back in the 1960s? Yes, I know. For black people, it wasn't fair. It wasn't. But still, why are these cancer cells telling me that those structures are wrong? When every time I've sided with them and said, yeah, let's take away this, the jobs seem to disappear more and more. That's because they know that they're just cutting the strings that are keeping them here in the United States. I didn't intend to talk about all that, but might as well anyway, right? I'm going to probably keep this short today, so I want to finish by adding on a couple of things that I've been thinking about when it comes to the NFL. One of the questions that I saw on Monday night was, how could the NFL make the game safer? How can the NFL make the game safer? And I got to tell you, family, I've been thinking about stuff like this for a while, and there's a couple of things that the NFL could do. I don't think they do it, but there is a couple of things the NFL could do that would not only make the game safer, but would help teams out in the long run. One, the NFL could expand their rosters. It does not make any sense with the NFL attempting to build a schedule that goes up to 20 games. That rosters have 53 players, and of that, I think you have to make an active 5 of those players for every game. That is stupid. That is dumb. A typical NFL roster today, considering that you have 3 aspects of the game, you have offense, you have defense, you have special teams. You have 11 players that play on each of those aspects. And of those aspects, the third one, special teams, that is mostly made up of people who are from either the offense or the defensive side of the ball. That is insane, considering how dangerous that aspect of the game is. The typical NFL roster, if people really were serious about protecting players' health, should be 65 to 70 players during the regular season. Don't tell me the NFL cannot afford it. The NFL could afford it. It just doesn't want to. It's a capitalist organization which says we want to get more for less. More for less. Moreover, whereas in the 1990s, people used to always say, oh, well, there's just not NFL caliber quality players out there. Bull crap. You have more teams producing high quality players in college than ever before. You have more than enough players being produced at the collegiate level, and sometimes not even at the collegiate level, to fill those extra roster spots. 65 to 70 players, and you should be able to keep 15 to 20 players on the practice squad, and eligibility should be exactly what it is. Maybe it might be changed a little bit to allow players who have more years of experience to remain on the practice squad for a while. Plus, I would add this to the roster. I would add this to the roster. 65 to 70 players, all of them are active on game day. All of them. Unless they're injured, then they can be inactive. And then the team can appoint a person from the practice squad to fill in that position for that day. Their designation does not change unless they have to play, meaning they're still technically on the practice squad, but they're called up if the team needs them to play. And then, instead of having this whole 24-hour waiver wires bullcrap, I mean, you could do that sometimes, you know, periodically. You should be able to just assign a person to the freaking practice squad immediately. I mean, we're not living in the 1970s anymore. Paperwork doesn't take that long to process. It should happen instantaneously. If I can go onto the portal for my medical insurance, and I can make a change tomorrow, and it'll show by the end of business day, and typically not even then, it'll take like an hour to change, you should be able to designate players between those statuses that quickly. Now, of course, the NFL would say, well, you just don't get it, you're dumb, you're just a fan, please. If you had said to people 15 years ago, hell, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that what happened with DeMar Hamlin was going to result in the kind of conversations that are happening now, including the NFL saying, at least this is what I heard bantered about, I don't know how true it is, that they said they're going to take care of DeMar Hamlin even after he is away from the game, considering the fact that he may not be able to play again. If you had told somebody that that was going to be the case, they would have told you you were crazy, you were insane, what the hell are you smoking? Mm-mm. Things have changed, and it's time for a realistic conversation of what it'll take to make players safe. 65 to 70 players during the regular season will enable people to rest. Will enable people to rest, especially if you're really trying to get up to the 20-game period. Let's say you're doing 20 games. You may say players have to rest 2 weeks in addition to their the 1 week that you have off, you know, as a team, you know, that week off. So you may say each player has to rest 2 additional weeks. So you'll have an 18-game schedule with those 2 weeks off. Now, of course, you may say, but wait a minute. That means you could lose some of your greatest players. You could lose some of your greatest players, and thus you could lose some games. Yes, you could. But you know something? We've seen it time and time again. Teams often have really good rosters, and those rosters are stacked. So this also gives every player on the roster an incentive to be ready. Moreover, some people have suggested that the NFL, if they go up to 20 games, drop the preseason. We've seen what that results in. 2020, when there was no preseason, it took about four weeks for the teams to really get into performance shape. In other words, you're going to need a preseason. Especially, you're going from 90 players down to 65 or 70. You need to evaluate all of those players. And you can't just do it in a practice setting. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. It doesn't work. DeMar Hamlin has brought everybody together. And one of the things, you know, that came out of this that really bothered me. I apologize if you can hear that. One of the things that came out of this that really bothered me was the number of people who, after the NFL revealed what they would be doing for the playoffs, became incensed about the fact that the game between the Bills and the Bengals wasn't going to be replayed. I actually hoped it would be played because I wanted to really see what was going to happen, but at the same time, I understand why they did it. What I would say to the people who became very angry about that game, get your priorities straight, y'all. Because I'm going to tell you, for as much garbage as you're talking, if it had been your family member, well, then again, I guess I can't say that. Maybe you're that selfish. But I would think if it was your family member and the teammates said, you know, we probably need to step away from this game for a minute, you might have said, okay, fine. Yeah, listen to them. But again, you know, there are selfish people in this world. I understand that. So, it is what it is. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you know, you can always contact me, y'all. I'm back. I don't know how long it's going to take me to put out another episode, but I really do want to thank you guys. Really, I do. I love doing this. Till the next one, y'all. Peace. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who find they can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone, and there are lives in the balance. There are people.
Thank you.